match analysis.
This is Alex Brown for Crick Info Talk on day two of the test match between Australia and the West Indies at the Gabba. And joining me is Ian Chappell. Well, Ian, I guess not a lot was expected of the West Indies on tour, and I guess that chasm in class is showing out on day two.
I guess the positive for the West Indies is the bowling looks to me like it's heading in the right direction. There were a couple of times where I feared that the Australians were getting on top and it might get right away from the West Indies. But I must say they stuck to their task very well with the ball, particularly seeing their leading quickie was out of the attack for most of the time in Jerome Taylor. And they were able to get a wicket at reasonably regular intervals. And I mean, if you look at the Australian scorecard, that tells you the story. You know, a lot of starts, but no one getting to 100. So I thought the bowling was very good. The fielding, they didn't back their bowlers very well. And they just can't afford to be dropping catches the way they grasp them. But the batting is the major concern. And I mean, they got the worst possible news before the game. You know, losing Sarwan, he was the one player they certainly didn't want to lose. So you can only hope that the return of Sarwan will make a huge difference to their batting.
I mean, really difficult for them, isn't it? I mean, it's a difficult tour as it is, but to lose two major players, one before the test, one during it, and have a captain absent for the week before, I mean, it's hardly helped them.
Well, it's happened now. This is two series in a row, or two test series in a row, where it's happened. I mean, Gale turned up right at the last minute in England. They played like a bunch of drones, and, I mean, a lot of that was blamed on the cold weather, and the poor fielding and the slack attitude in England was blamed on the cold weather. Well, they can't blame the cold weather here. And I mean, it was an unfortunate set of circumstances on this occasion that had Gale turning up once again just at the last moment. But there's too many of these sort of things are happening with West Indies cricket. I mean, they've had the ongoing problem between the players and the administrators. I mean, that's been going for a decade now. You know, these sort of things have got to be sorted out. Because when you see, you know, after having watched the Champions League and seeing how talented Trinidad were and how they played their cricket was such, you know, it was entertaining and they played with great enthusiasm. I mean, the thing that you take out of that is I really would like to see Darren Ganger captaining this West Indies side, because I think they really need that sort of leadership at the moment. You know, it's all right for Chris Gayle, you know, the players like him and he's laid back, but I just don't think that's the style of captaincy they may need at the moment. I think they really need a driving type captaincy, which they, you know, you've got a chance of getting from Darren Ganger. And I mean, the excuse that is constantly used about not picking Ganger as a captain is that he's not a good enough batsman. Well, you know, I'm sorry, West Indies selectors, but when I look at the current West Indies batting lineup, I don't see there's any way in the wide world that Darren Ganger can't find a place in that lineup.
On to the second innings, the West Indian innings. I mean, there was a bright start from Barath and Gale, and then it all sort of fell apart. I mean, you've watched a lot of West Indies over the years. Is this sort of a scenario? I guess it's becoming all too familiar in the modern era.
Well, I think Adrian Bharat, I saw him play in the Champions League, and I think he's got a lot of ability, and I think they're on the right path there. I think he's got some potential. But, you know, once again, the two challenges to the umpiring decisions by the West Indies, I mean, for God's sake, they were purely emotional challenges of, where the two major batsmen in the side were going to challenge. I mean, if you haven't edged one as a batsman and know that you edged it onto your pad, then what are you challenging for? I mean, they were two of the worst challenges you could possibly have. And I mean, Dwayne Bravo and Brendan Nash and Dinesh Ramdan, in the next team meeting, I'm going to say, hey, boys, I want to bat further up the batting order, otherwise I'm not going to have a challenge to my name. I mean, things like that, you just make you, you know, wonder what the hell's going on. It's disappointing, and I think the sad part is that most of the ex-cricketers that you talk to all say, isn't it sad to see the West Indies playing like this?
You touched on the umpire review system. I mean, we're now 2 days into it. Do you, how have you viewed it? There's been, you know, the odd, I guess, decision that's been a little bit uncertain, like the Mitchell Johnson one today, and then a couple of howling referrals, as you discussed. How have you seen it?
Well, I'd have to be honest and say I'm not in favour of it, but the system has now been brought in, so okay, I'm happy to have a look at it and see what I think of it. But I mean, I've got two major problems with it. One, which I've had that problem right from the day they first started sending decisions to a third umpire, and that is, I believe it's got to be justice for all, not justice for some, and that's always been a major stumbling block with me. And the second thing is, you know, it is said that part of the reason for it is to get the correct decision, but you know, if you get now with those two challenges, the West Indies going down the drain very early on, you could get an absolute howler for Dinesh Ramdon, let's say, and he has no challenge. So how is that getting us the correct decision? Yeah, but anyhow, as I say, I'll put my cards on the table. I'm not in favour, but I'm prepared to have a look and see what I think, and maybe it can change my mind.
Onto the Australians. This is obviously their first Test outing since the Ashes, and you know, we've already discussed that perhaps, you know, there is a weakness of opposition here. But what have your general thoughts been so far?
I think Simon Kadich looks to me like he's in the form of his life. He's been in good form, and he just looks so comfortable at the crease. He looks like a very, very relaxed player. Michael Hussey, I think, you know, he's struggling his way back into form, but the fact that he's still having a bit of trouble outside off stump tells you that he's not there yet, because when Michael Hussey is in his best form, he slaps balls through the covers that in this game he was edging through past third slip and the gully region. But overall, I think a pretty methodical performance from the Australians, they'll clinically dismember the West Indies, I think, the way it's going at the moment.
And with the ball, Johnson and Hilfenhaus look quite zippy today.
Yeah, Hilfenhaus, I think he's a much improved bowler. And I mean, I would have said of Hilfenhaus, say 12 months ago, that he was a bit of a specialist bowler, the sort of guy that, yes, you use him a bit in England because the ball swings more in England than it does in Australia. Perth, you'd have him as your into the wind specialist in Perth, definitely, and maybe not play at too many other venues in Australia. But I think, all credit to him, I think he's become much more of an all-round bowler, and I think he's the type of bowler that you don't think about, we'll play him here but not there now. I think he's earned the right to be picked wherever the Australians are playing a test at the moment. Johnson looks to me as though he's shed all the problems of England and the Ashes series, and perhaps that could be the fact that he's back home in Australia where there's a bit more bounce, and I think he likes that sort of pitch. He bowled well in South Africa where there's a bit of bounce. But I think, as I say, I think Hilfenhaus has really grown in confidence and matured as an all-round bowler, and Johnson looks as though he's got all of his confidence back.
This is Crick Info Talk.